This is a Defocus Media production.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the 2020 podcast, Canada's number one optometry podcast. I am your host, Dr. Harbir Syan. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me here, guys, to learn and to grow, as always. I'm so, so grateful. And as always, I'm going to have a really quick request for you right off the top. If you find value in this episode, which I'm sure you will, because this is going to be a fun conversation, but please share it. Send a link to your friend, put it on LinkedIn, take a screenshot, put it up on your Instagram story, something or other. Let people know that we're having this conversation, because there's a lot of people out there who are going to want to know about this. We are going to be talking about artificial intelligence and the applications for AI right now, and more specifically in eye care. But I think a lot of what Carrie and I are going to talk about is going to be applicable to people in any industry, really. And so I have my wonderful guest today, Carrie Scullin, who is the manager of editing and content strategy at Marketing for ECPs. Carrie has spent over 12 years in writing and editing, first in newspaper and magazine, and now doing her digital marketing. And prior to this, she also worked in a big, busy optometry clinic in Calgary, multiple location clinic, where she had a lot of hands-on experience in marketing and patient experience and that type of thing. So she's bringing a lot of cool insights from these different perspectives all into this conversation. So I'm really excited. We're going to be talking about how we can start to use AI today, right now, and how it's applicable to us in our work setting. So thank you so much, Carrie, for being here. I'm really excited to have this conversation.
Thank you, Harbir, me as well.
So, Carrie, before we had this, before we got on live, over the last couple of weeks, we've been chatting a little bit. Like, how should we have this conversation? How should we approach it? And the idea was, like, how can we apply AI today? Well, the question, the answer to our questions of how to approach the conversation was answered by none other than AI. And you did a great, funny little thing, which is ironic and convenient. And you asked your AI platform, what questions should a podcast host ask an AI-assisted content creator about AI and optometry, which is the perfect prompt to get the perfect question. So the questions we are actually going to be asking in this conversation are from AI itself. And you use an application called Jasper. We'll get a little bit more into details about, like, ChatGPT and what Jasper is and some of the other applications out there. But I thought this was the perfect way to have our conversation structured. So the first question that Jasper offered you was, how can AI technology and content creation tools be used to improve patient education in optometry? So what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's such a good question to get us started. So AI is really great for assisting in content creation. It crawls the internet. It does a lot of that research for you. And then the outputs that it can provide you are, you know, they're really simple to understand. They're typically factual. I do always recommend fact-checking everything that you get, because AI is only as good as the content that's already published on the internet. But yeah, I think it takes that first step out. There's a lot of ways that you can use it similarly to the way that you would on Google, like, hey, what is an OCT? And it'll tell you exactly what it is and who you can ask who it's for. It's really great for education and content creation.
Yeah, that's something. I think just the content creation thing is something that we probably have multiple sort of verticals to kind of go through, multiple chapters of this conversation just in that one thing, in the content creation. I was saying to you before, how do we sort of define AI? How would you define AI? Because there's a lot of, like, smart applications already. You know, specifically, you know, I when I get in my car and my phone connects to the Bluetooth, my phone tells me, you know, it predicts where I'm going based on my patterns throughout the week, and my schedule is pretty predictable, right? So it'll tell me, my watch will beep and it'll say, it's 4 minutes to your kid's preschool, because it knows at 8:30 in the morning, that's likely where I'm going. And it was going to drop her off at preschool. And then when I get back in the car after dropping her off, it says, hey, it's 30 minutes to your work and traffic is moderate. Like, here, you can check the map if you want. So it knows where I'm going and what I'm doing. So is that AI or is that smart? Like, what's the difference? Where do we draw the line and how do we start calling it AI?
Honestly, I feel like maybe we're not using the term correctly, but it is one of those buzzwords. AI is kind of something that everyone understands. When we look at something like ChatGPT. The GPT stands for Generative Pre-trained Transformer. So it's using language models to give you the outputs that you're expecting. Same thing with, you know, your commute to work. It's gathering data about you and it's giving you outputs based on that data. So I don't know if it's technically artificial intelligence or if it's just like a really good formula that understands what you need in that moment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a lot of the content that we're using is, you know, it's only as good as the inputs that you give it.
Yeah.
Because it's using content that already exists.
Right.
And the same too with, you know, your car telling you how far it is to go. We have things like Alexa and Google Home. Like people have them in their kitchen. Hey, what's a good recipe for this? And it'll tell you based on pre-existing content that's already on the internet.
Right. So I was feeling like this is just an extension of Google, almost like just a fancy Google, right? Because the information is there. It's not making technically stuff up out of thin air. It's taking information that's there and just presenting it to us in a more digestible way, or, you know, in a format that is specific to what we're requesting. Is that correct? You know, so GPT, this generative stuff, is not really AI in like the way that we imagine AI as, like, you know, in like iRobot, where there's like one big brain that controls a bunch of the robots and can overtake us.
No, I don't think it's there yet. Maybe one day. I think it's pretty cool that we can ask it questions and it can search for answers for us, logical things that we're looking for.
It certainly can save us a lot of time. So I've been kind of goofing around with some different applications. And, you know, I want to talk about the content creation thing for sure. So let's talk about, you know, what are you using it for right now most of the time? Are you using it daily? A lot of your stuff is through, you know, this kind of stuff? Or is it just some, like, how much are you using it?
We're using it really often. I think it's important to differentiate that we are calling it AI-assisted content creation. Mm-hmm. We'll have all of our writers are, you know, going through it, tweaking the content, making sure that it's hitting all of those regulations. It sounds human. It's, you know, we're making changes to ensure that we're getting brand voice for all of our clients and that kind of stuff. It's pretty interesting in the ways that we're using it. And we're always kind of finding new little ways to use it. It's cool because it's allowing us more time to work on the branding and the messaging, because we're not sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, how would I craft this message? We can type it in, it gives us an output. And then from there we can work on, okay, how do we make this exactly perfect for this client? So we are using it to help us generate some social media captions because we generate a lot of those in a very short amount of time. We use it to get us started on blogs. It gives us like a good framework to work from every time. We are never just publishing AI generated.
I think that's important to put up. I know you don't want your clients to be like, well, these guys are just sitting around punching stuff into you know, AI and then eating a sandwich, you know?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of work that goes into it. I would highly, highly recommend having a second set of eyes on it at all times.
Yeah. I know, I understand other eye care professionals are thinking along the same lines as me. It's like, we're thinking big splash type of stuff. Like, how is this going to change the entire way I practice? And right now, there isn't anything that's going to really change the way you practice. I've been talking to a few ODs and a few other people who are kind of in the tech space. There is technology, sure, maybe on the cusp. And there's probably technology that we are utilizing, but it's not totally changing the way we're practicing. But the amount of content we need to start putting out there and we'll continue to need to put out there, whether it's emails, blogs, social media, the fact that we have these little engines that can kind of create a lot of that content for us can save us a lot of time. It can help us get from, you know, for people who are maybe doing a little bit of content creation and are limited or not doing as much because they don't feel like they have the time, or perhaps they don't feel like they're creative enough. It definitely can get you over that hump pretty quickly. I can give you a quick example of what one thing I was testing out was writing, creating email templates for patients. So I created I went to ChatGPT and I typed in, okay, create an email template from an optometrist to a patient explaining the benefits of omega-3.
Nice.
And it gave me, you know, an email, and it sort of And it worded it fairly well because it was towards a patient. And then I said, you know, you just keep prompting it, like clarify this sentence or change or expand on this sentence or specify EPA and DHA content, you know, and it will give like based on information on the internet. And it actually crafted a pretty good email that I'm likely going to use after making some small edits. And that took me, you know, and that was like the very first thing I did on ChatGPT. So it took me a little bit longer because I was just sort of trying to figure it out. But really, that could have been done within 5 minutes or less. So there's a lot of applications in that way, too.
Totally. And it sounds like you did maybe a little bit of research on the prompts that you need to give it. Because those were all really keywords that we use.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's just, I guess you could say I did research. I've just been sort of watching other people and listening to what other people are doing. You know, there's lots of stuff out on social media about the how to use it. So I wasn't digging too deep. That didn't take me a lot of time. So now anybody listening to this can just take the words that I used and go. And that's it. Like, you just need to be like, okay, it's from an optometrist to a patient on this specific topic, make it this length, you know. Mm-hmm. You could use whatever prompts or when it gives you the first one, then say, okay, make it shorter. Oh, that's what I did. I said, make it shorter. Mm-hmm. Cause it was too long at first. And then, okay, so it made it shorter. Okay. Now, give me more information on this topic. And you don't have to go back and be like, change the fourth word of the sentence. You can just say, tell me more about this thing. And it just sort of spits out new answers. So it's pretty cool how user friendly it is.
Yeah.
And, cause I'm like new to this. So it's exciting for me. And it sort of like tabs it. So like if you start one conversation on like the email about omega-3s, it tabs that conversation. Then if you start a new one on make me a presentation on something, it'll tab that. So you can always go back to and see your history on all of that. So it's very easy to use.
Yeah, totally.
So tell me about how people can start to use, in your opinion, like social media wise, like what is it the application for? How would I go about even creating a social media post using AI?
Yeah, I think social media is a really cool and unique one. I really like AI assisted content for idea generation. So, hey, you know, whatever AI you're using, come up with 10 ideas about myopia control that I can post to social media. And it'll come up with like, you know, a few ideas and then you can work with that. Yeah, it's a really great starting point. I think that's how I really think about AI and content generation, is just a really great point to kick off from. And then you can dive more into things and use your own personal knowledge to really build out these ideas that the AI has created for you.
And how about on the caption side of things? Like, because I know that's where a lot of people get stuck too. It's like, I got a picture. Now, what do I say about this picture? Like, how can we use AI in that sense?
Yeah, I think you can put in a description of what the picture is about, or you can put in other prompts to come up with a social media caption. It's pretty good. I mean, I always do say that I think that you should have someone who has content experience on this, because we're really talented at making it human, making sure that it matches your brand voice. We really run the risk here of coming across as inauthentic if we're all of a sudden posting things that sound really strange and not genuinely you or us. So there are some things that the AI outputs that maybe don't live up to the regulations in your province or state. Right. So that's something that you really, really need to be cautious about.
Gotcha. Very important. Got it. How about on the blog side of things? So you were mentioning you guys do use it as far as kind of creating sort of the meat of it, and then you sort of edit it from there. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, we've been using it to get that outline out there. So it kind of takes a little bit of the research out of it, of what am I going to put in this blog? And it uses really smart words, and then you can go in and you can, you know, add in keywords and that kind of thing. It's such a good starting off point. It's very similar to the social media. It'll give you something to work with, and then you can really judge it from there.
Just to kind of echo what you're saying, I agree with that, because I was like, a lot of times when I'm making a presentation or writing a blog or something like that, initially I'm like, oh, what am I going to even say? How do I even say this? But if I have something in front of me, even if it's not very good, I can look at it and say, okay, well, all right, I can understand how I can start. Maybe I'll change this. Maybe I'll scrap that. Maybe I'll reposition this. But it's a lot easier than a blank page staring at you and you don't know what to write at all.
Yes. I
actually, another thing I was working on, because I'm actually working on a presentation now to kind of talk to ODs about, to ECPs in general, about like these applications for AI. And so I said, I think I was talking about this before, like, I wanted to go to AI and say, okay, give me 5 slides on how AI can be used in eye care. And then I wanted to just use that as part of my presentation to show people, like, here's what AI did for me. And so in ChatGPT, I did that. I said, give me give me 5 slides for a presentation on the, you know, how AI can be used. And so it gave me pretty good. Initially, it was very like overview, like, oh, you should talk about this. And then you should talk about this. And then I went and I said, no, give me specific information on this and this and this. And then it was actually pretty good. And it broke it down into, you know, intro and the history of AI, the current uses of AI, future uses of AI, and conclusion of like why we should all be or how we should all get into it. It's good information. But the actual creating the presentation part, like putting it into a PowerPoint slide that's visually captivating and all of that, that part's kind of lacking right now. But at least it gave me the content. When I'm making a presentation, that's the hard part for me. It's like, what do I even say? So it gave me the content to kind of put into those few slides. So that's kind of cool, I think, as a starting point, like you said. So let's go back to the AI assisted questions that were crafted for us. We've been kind of going off on different tangents here. Let's talk about ethics a little bit, because that's going to become a big thing, right? Intellectual property and things like that. We're seeing, if ChatGPT puts out a blog for me, how do I know I'm not copying somebody? Or, you know, we see AI assisted music being made and using like Drake's voice or Eminem's voice to create a new rap song. And it's like, well, the song, the lyrics are new, but the voice is obviously somebody else's, you know. So I don't know what the IP laws are around that, if there are any. But like, what do you see as far as ethical concerns, and how should we sort of approach this so we're being aware of that at least?
Yeah, I think a great place to start is with a plagiarism checker. Anything that you're getting out of these generative predictive outputs, I think you should definitely be running them through a plagiarism checker just to be on the safe side. Having a look at the content that it's putting out and, you know, changing it enough is really important. I think you need to have eyes on it. You can't guarantee that it's, you know, even putting positive things out into the world. So, and sometimes it seems like it might just make a fact or two up. You need to be really careful about that.
It's getting really human then, basically.
And you can't guarantee that everything that exists on the internet currently is factual and correct.
That's right.
So it's just pulling information from, you know, places across the internet. So that's where we run into the issue too of, you know, is this content up to advertising regulations? Is it going to get you in trouble? You need to be having a good look at it before you go and post it anywhere on your website or right. Social media or anything like that. So plagiarism checker is a great place to start. And then when we start talking about the voice AI, that stuff, first off, kind of creepy. It's not my thing. But I was at a conference here recently and they created a video that used the gentleman's face and his voice. They recorded a minute of his voice and then sent it through an AI voice creator and put it on with this AI video of himself. It was weird. It was a little uncanny valley-esque. That's to say the least. But that runs us into ethical concerns there if you don't have consent from someone to use their voice. I think that could get you into some really hot water. It also really runs the risk of coming across as inauthentic and kind of creepy. So I would play cautiously with stuff like that.
Yeah. There's certainly a creepy element to it. Just because it's like almost real, but you can tell it's not real. And so that makes you feel a little uncomfortable about it. And actually on that note, funny enough, I forgot to mention this to you, but since you brought that up, it's part of my kind of goofing around with these different tools online. I created a little AI I took a picture of, I had a photo of myself from when I was 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
And I put that into the AI thing and I made it say, it was like a, I don't know, 15 seconds of me saying the importance of a comprehensive eye exam. But yeah, it's like just, this little child that you know doesn't know those words, but it's coming out in a child's voice. So it's super cute, but at the same time, if I may say so myself, it was super cute, a picture of myself as a child. Yeah. But creepy, like the comments under the post, if you go and check it on Instagram, most of them say that's creepy, but cute. Yeah. Because it's like, obviously that's a static photo, but the head's like moving and the lips are moving and the eyes are blinking. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's a little odd, but it's there.
I did watch that. I thought it was pretty funny. I feel like it's not that far off from like Snapchat filters and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Filter your images.
Well, the funny thing was like the day before I posted that, my cousin sent me a picture, a video of my niece who's like 8 months old. So, you know, and it was like some rap song and her mouth was moving to the lyrics. So super cute. This little baby with a chubby face and the mouth's just going off rapping. So it was like, it was basically that. But so Snapchat already has that. You know, you can just create filters of yourself, but it's going to be specifically to the songs or whatever that are on the app.
Yeah.
Whereas these other apps will let you basically make that face say whatever you want it to say, which can be cool or it could be bad, obviously. Like any tool, it could be used for negative things, you know, and you get into the potential of like people using other people's likeness and voice to get them in trouble, even possibly. So you want to be careful about not using somebody, you know, you don't want to take, I don't know, Prince Harry's face and voice and have him talk about why everybody should come to Clarity Eye Care or something like that. And you might potentially get in trouble.
Yeah, you do run the risk there. I'm sure there will be some legal suits in the future. Yeah. Of course there will be. But I do maybe just want to circle back to the fun aspect a little bit, because it did spark my memory about like trying on glasses online. You know, there are some online optical retailers where you can just take a picture of your face, you move it to the left, you move it to the right, and then next thing you know, you're trying on glasses and moving your head around and seeing how you look with them on. So that's a cool application. I thought of that because there was a Snapchat filter where I could try on glasses.
Yeah.
That was extremely clever.
Yeah. Really, and weirdly enough, Snapchat is better at it than most of the other applications that like an eye care provider would be able to purchase or invest in to bring into their office. Snapchat filters are really, really good. But I guess we're talking about a multi-billion dollar corporation investing in their own tech versus somebody else. But that sort of augmented reality type of stuff, I think that's going to become important for us in eye care. So for those of us out there who are interested in like, how's AI going to change the way I practice? Kind of as I was mentioning earlier, I'm going to be having more of those conversations coming up, lining up some guests to talk about, you know, what tech is kind of in the works that actually might change the way we practice, you know, because like augmented reality type stuff and, you know, maybe VR type stuff is going to be applicable in optometry, whether it's talking about refractions or some other kind of ocular evaluations or trying on glasses. There's going to be applications for all of that, you know, retinal evaluations and dry eye and all of this stuff. So we're going to talk more about that, definitely. It's just that there's not something really tangible, impactful right now. In the case of like, wondering, Carrie, if you have any thoughts on in the case of like some of the more kind of back end type of stuff, like scheduling or communicating with patients and that type of stuff. Do you have any thoughts on how right now there's applicable uses for AI there?
Totally. I get really excited about this because I think this is a cool part of the patient care customer experience. There's AI content creators that have browser extensions. So that makes it really easy if you're viewing email that way. It can read through the email that you received. And if you want to come up with a response that's like, hey, like, how do I tell this patient that we have their contact lenses in, but we still need payment from them, something like that, you can be like, hey, write an email about this and it'll take off and write you a very well-worded personal email back to this patient, letting them know that their order is in. There's also different applications too that you can use it. I don't know how many patient recall emails I've seen that are not great. They could be better. And it's something that you generally, I think, as an optometrist, you set it and forget it. You know that it's sending them the email at the appropriate times when you're scheduling software. You know, here are all the people who are due for eye exams in September. So maybe it's worth having a look at those emails and sending them through some kind of generative predictive text and getting them refreshed and nice and friendly and, you know, maybe convert those recalls into leads again and get those people back into the office.
That's really great. So this is, right off the top, when I introduced you, I mentioned you've worked in an optometry clinic, a busy clinic. You were doing a lot of hands-on with patients. So it's really cool that you could bring that insight into the conversation, because that's that tangible day-to-day stuff that we start to get excited about. Wow, all the cool tech that I could maybe use as AI, but like, this is stuff we're doing every single day and can really impact the business. But we tend to overlook it because it's sort of mundane, right? But if we could revamp that and give the patient a different experience in that communication, I think that's really important. Could you give me a for those of us who are very new or have like limited or no experience in the GPT type of stuff, what would I do kind of step by step if I wanted to revamp those recall emails? Let's say I've got ChatGPT on my computer, right? Let's say I figured out how to do that much and I've logged in. Now, what should I prompt it to say?
I mean, there are a couple different ways that you could do it. You could copy the emails that you have already and get it to rewrite them in a friendlier tone or something like that.
I see.
Or you could start from scratch. That's really up to you.
So I have emails I've been sending for years. They need to be revamped. I'll take it, copy the text, paste it into ChatGPT, and like maybe above that, I'll say, rewrite this following email in a friendlier tone and something, mentioning our clinic name or something like that. And it'll give me some. The good thing is there's no wrong way to do this. You can't make a mistake. Like if you prompt it incorrectly and you don't like the response, say, okay, no, let's start again. Let's try this way. Or if it gives you a response, you're like, okay, that's close, but not quite there. So just use words that you'd use when you're talking to a human being. Okay. Change the last sentence, make it sound friendlier, or something like that. And it will start to make little changes and it kind of becomes fun once you get that feedback from it. So that's a really cool application, I think, really to help improve that patient experience. Any other thoughts on that as far as improving the patient interaction experience with the clinic?
I think the chat functions are really cool because you could even be sending through, like if you're sending text messages to patients, some people like to send personalized text messages. Right. Those probably take a bit of time to craft. Maybe you could come up with a handful of them that are, reusable content. Sure. You know that it's, someone has their exam coming up in 2 days and you just want to confirm, or you want to let them know that their order's in or something like that. You can reuse that content, but just send it through the chat and see what it comes up with. And right. I think it's cool because it takes that initial, like, oh my gosh, what do I say to this patient out of the equation? Because you can just get the chat to send you something. You check it over, make sure it's correct, make sure it's friendly. It's what you want it to be. And you can send it off as long as it's factual and we're not allowed to say.
Right. But again, it's like, it just helps you kind of get it off the ground. Like, okay, send, craft me a text message to remind a patient that they're scheduled for an appointment tomorrow, or craft a message, text message, be specific about what type of message you want it to be. So it'll know that their patient's contact lenses are ready to pick up or whatever, like things like that. And it'll, then all of a sudden you got 5 text messages, like you said, that can be reused and maybe just personalized with the person's name or something. Exactly. So that's really cool. What else, Carrie, what do you think as far as the future of all of this? Like, where do you think we're going? How do you think AI is going to start to impact eye care, with the different things that you see on the horizon?
Yeah, I think there's a lot going on in the AI world right now. I'm going to use air quotes for it.
Yeah, air quotes AI for those who are listening.
So I think Yeah, the future is bright. The future is AI. I think that we should be getting into it right now if we're not already. There are so many ways it's going to be able to help us and really streamline some of the day-to-day things that take us a lot of time. Mm-hmm. You know, one day I could see using AI or computer program software to read through a patient's images, like their optomaps or OCTs, make recommendations based on the little blips and findings that you get in those images. Mm-hmm. Be reading through patient files and making recommendations based on their health, their family history, stuff like that. Yeah. I think it could really help an optometrist come to those diagnoses and just double check them and really provide in-depth care for their patients. So,
yeah, that sort of, I don't know if data mining is not the right phrase, but like going through that kind of data, that's like, for us, we'd have to flip this page, flip that page. Okay, now I got to go back to last year's chart. Let me see. But like kind of just being able to just go through the data and come back and say, okay, you know, here's the changes, or here's the trajectory, or the, you know, whatever, that kind of stuff, creating sort of these predictive models, that sounds exciting too. And certainly could help us be better clinicians. I think that's really cool to see on top of the other ways it's already possibly going to help.
Yeah, I will say, I think there's going to be some really cool applications in the medical field, because doctors use a lot of the same acronyms, especially in optometry. Yeah. You know, you're using BID to tell people how often to take their medication. So any kind of software like that should be able to read those acronyms and just understand exactly what you wrote, what they were doing a year ago. So you're totally right in terms of looking back on patient files and their treatment plans and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's very cool. I want to tell a quick story about a friend of mine who's a lawyer, and you know, he kind of echoing all the stuff you've already said, and he's just a bit more advanced in like using certain, because with OpenAI, you mentioned it's open source, right? Open source code or software. So pretty much anyone can take that and change it up into using it specifically in the area that they need. And so for him, he's got something that'll, if he gets an email from, because he's busy, he gets tons of emails as a lawyer, like email from somebody, another lawyer perhaps, asking for information on a client or on a case, he could just sort of prompt it. It'll go into his database based on this like secured server he's got, whatever, and pull out the information based on that question that the person had asked, versus him sending his assistant or him going in there personally. And it'll basically bring up the information. Then he'll say, okay, write me an email response, you know, add this as a file, or add this as a blurb in the email. Like, it's pretty cool. Like, how much time for somebody like that, who's got lots of words to read through constantly, I imagine it could save him a ton of time. We are not reading through as many words and documents, but still going through other forms of documents, like you said, imaging or dry eye information. It's exciting to see how it might be able to pull that information and get us to those diagnoses or treatment plans a lot faster.
Absolutely. I'd be curious to hear what software your friend is using, because that sounds exactly like it could be used in a medical sphere.
Yeah. Well, once he told me that, I started emailing, and I'm starting waiting to get answers back, but I'm starting to email people around eye care in the EMR, EHR type of space. Like, all right, what do you guys got cooking right now? Because I'm interested to see how this could be applicable. You know, this might help me make a decision on the next electronic health record system that I implement in my office, right? If it's going to help me access information more quickly, that's always easy, because otherwise, trying to go through 10 years of files just to find an answer to a question is kind of a pain. So I think it could be helpful.
Absolutely.
I'll ask him and I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Awesome. Carrie, any other final words of wisdom or information, exciting things you want to share about AI before we wrap up?
I think AI is super cool. I think everyone should be at least playing with it and seeing what it can do and how it can help them in their day-to-day life. We use it in some cool ways already when we ask Alexa or Google our questions. The only thing that I really want to stress is that it really needs a close eye on it. Never blindly post anything that AI gives you. Mm-hmm. Definitely have a look at it. Make sure it meets those advertising regulations. There's a lot of them for optometry. Make sure that it's, you know, friendly and in the end, you may need to tweak it to make it sound authentically you, but it's such a good foundation to build off of.
Yeah, that's great. And I think get excited about it, get involved in it, I think is kind of the key thing as well, right? If we sit back and we kind of say, oh, I don't know about this AI thing, then we're going to have to start playing catch up. Right now is the time we start getting involved, and we're not necessarily ahead of the curve, but we are rolling with the technology as it is. And when something changes, we're able to kind of adapt to that more quickly rather than trying to climb up some mountain of like all sorts of new developments that we didn't keep up with. So get in there. As my friend Sean Canungo says, get your hands dirty, just get in the mud and play with it. And I think you'll be kind of pleasantly surprised at how helpful it can be.
Yeah, that's exactly the right attitude.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Carrie. I appreciate your insight. I'm really excited. I'm going to take a lot of what you said today and start to kind of fool around with that a little bit more over the next little while. And I hope everybody else who's listening and watching does that too.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, watching to the 2020 podcast, Canada's number one optometry podcast. Make sure you share this again. Take a screenshot or send a link to somebody. Let them know if you think that there's people out there, friends of yours, that you should be getting a little more involved in AI. Let them know that Carrie and I had this conversation so we can all get up to speed and have fun with this technology. And I will be back with another episode very soon. See you then.